I had a message on my heart for the church this morning. And then I have an exhortation on my heart in case the Lord changed the mood of the service to where we wouldn't deliver a burden of a message. And so sitting over there, I said, Lord, if He brings me up before 11:30, I'll deliver the message. If He brings me up after 11:30, I'll simply give an exhortation. And it's 11:29, He called me up, so y'all are getting the message. We want what the Lord wants, and I'd be very, very sensitive to do that. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? I know you've got a week in front of you where the Lord is going to deal with your heart and deal with your life. And you ought to learn to set aside these weeks, consecrate them unto God. And ask the Lord. It wouldn't hurt you to skip some meals and do some fasting. And ask God to deal with your heart. He will. He'll help you if you want help. And He'll direct you if you want direction. And He'll strengthen you if you want strength to do His will. In Acts chapter 16. I better read the verse so you can sit down. I'm going to pray first. Lord, thank You for Calvary. Lord God, thank You for the Comforter given unto us. You gave us Your Son, then You gave us Your Spirit. Lord, You gave us Your Scripture, Your eternal essence, the Word, coming out of Your heart delivered unto us. Lord God, thank You for this pastor. Thank You for this place. It's needed more than they know. Lord, this is needed more than they know. Little things happening here to saving big things down the road. Lord, convey the burden into this body of how eternal and how important what's happening here is. It ain't just a good service. Lord, this is a standard raised up to make a difference in all eternity. Lord, a salt like this can save a nation. Father, You got to convey that burden into this body. Lord God, so we won't take it for granted and let the devil steal it from us. Lord, show this pastor, God, what You're doing. Show him what You're saving. Show him, Lord, what You're building. That his heart would be encouraged. Now, Lord, speak to us and strengthen us, and I love You and thank You for it in Christ's name. And all the Lord's people say it. Acts 16:10. I guess verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. I got me some happy bubbles just by reading that to you. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. After he, immediately we. I'm going to preach on when he becomes we. You can be seated. When he becomes we. The Bible said, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. This might knock somebody out who says, well, the Lord hadn't told me anything. I need y'all to help me a little bit. I can't help it. He got me up here before 11:30. That's just the Lord. It would have been sugar after 11:30, but it's going to be salt before 11:30. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. When he becomes we. I don't know what this sermon sounds like. I'm looking forward to hearing it. As many of y'all know, and you help us in this, we go to Albania every year. God's put it in my heart to raise up a gospel ministry in the Eastern European country of Albania. Some older preachers took me on a mission trip there in 94, right after communism collapsed. God buried it in my heart. Worked mysteriously and providentially and wonderfully in my ministry to finally bring it to pass just in the last few years. And Albania is old Macedonia. Macedonia is still there. But back then, Albania and all that was Macedonia. One of my ordained preachers, who's now a pastor and got 12 of his own preachers, called me up and said, "The Lord showed me that." He's went with me every year and carried his young preachers. And he showed me that. He said, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. He said, "You're the he and we're the we." And I want to talk to you a little while this morning, the help of God, on what would happen in a church where the he becomes the we. After he, immediately we. A lot of people mess up the subject of the sovereignty of God by trying to mess up the message. God's sovereignty. A lot of folk try to put it in the gospel message and change the gospel message. The gospel message is this: Christ died for all men. That's the gospel message. And whosoever will can come and should come. The sovereignty of God, the God who rules every world that is because He created every world that is. The God who's named every star and buries every sparrow. The God who has the hairs on your head numbered. The God who has the angels in heaven and hell right where He wants them. His sovereignty can be seen in His man. In His movements. In His methods. In His manner. And isn't it wonderful when a we has a he? Hoo-wee, I'm about to pop a happy bubble. You ought to thank God for that day those beautiful feet came into your life. If you're in this thing, everybody's got a man of God. You'll thank God for the he's. This sermon will be shorter if y'all act better. That's really up to you. And it's amazing who God lets be He. God in that wise, wonderful sovereignty where He does what He wants to, how He wants to, when He wants to, when He decided to get an apostle for the Gentiles. He looked down there and He found the chief of sinners. He said, "Cause the rest of them Gentiles are going to hear about the grace of God and they're going to need to know if I save him, I save them." He looked on the planet and found the only feller trying to kill him. That was Christ. Y'all got to do a little bit. That was Christ's body that He had just left. It was His body, and he found the one feller trying to kill His body. He said, "I think I'll just save the pudding out of that." He won't never get over it. And y'all thank God for the He. Woo! Brother Ellis, right? Stand up for a minute, son. Now have your wife stand. Turn around, little sis. Look at him just for a second. That's the granddaughter. of my daddy's pastor. That's one of them Dogwood girls. I'm one of them Dogwood boys. Her daddy's one of my best friends. Her daddy's daddy was the old white-haired man of God. The he. Her grandpa. When my daddy, his sermon just got longer. Sorry for it, but it's got something in the oven. Her granddaddy was the one standing there with that blood-stained banner when my daddy was trying to dive into hell. Yeah. 80 pounds ago, this was a lap. Yeah. Customized. Yeah, this is how it works now. Don't burn near as many calories. This kind of. And that was her daddy's daddy. When my daddy, who had a drunk, blaspheming daddy, and his daddy showed them all how to jump into hell fast, killing people, cursing people, hurting the only people in your life. And my daddy was 1966 trying to dive into hell. But her daddy's daddy. That was 66 when he stood in that pulpit. Grabbed 100 devils and slung them to the left. Grabbed 100 more and slung them to the right and said, I'm going to get that sinner right there. I'm talking about the he's. And my old daddy had a praying mama and a praying grandma. My mama would spend the night in the parking lot several nights. Saturday night was so bad. They'd walk up to the church, keep from getting killed or worse. And they'd walk up to the church through the woods and they'd sleep up there in the car at the church parking lot and just get up and go to church in the morning. Couldn't go home for the weekend. Talking about my grandma with them four babies. But that was her daddy's daddy. When my daddy walked in the back door because the Holy Ghost done caught up with all the grandma's praying. And he was standing in the back. My daddy, when her daddy's daddy said, Junior, what's wrong with you? That was an old-fashioned altar call right there. In front of 400. That was an old-timey altar call. You know I'm telling it right, little sis. Junior! Daddy nearly went off that bridge on Thursday night doing 85 mile an hour and the flood washed it out and the Holy Ghost pulled him over. Sitting there trembling from Thursday to Sunday. Couldn't swallow water. Couldn't open a letter. Losing his mind. Them feet hanging out over the flames of hell. That's what some of you need this week. Need to get born again. You can hide behind the shouts of this church. You can hide behind the prayer meetings of this church. You can act like you're one of us, but some of you need to get born again. It's easy to slide in, people this nice. You can slide in, operate, and learn how to function in this thing, and you ain't never been born again. You better get born again. You can go to hell right from an old-fashioned Baptist church. And that was my daddy sitting back there when her daddy's daddy. And by the way, that's 2009. And he's still in the same pulpit. He's still flagging them down. He was standing in the pulpit in 1982. When the Holy Ghost told me, come here. It was that simpler, maybe simpler. Come here. I said, okay.
and I'm here. And he said, I want you. I said, really? He said, yeah, I want you. And I said, okay. I ain't got nothing else to do. And I remember the first time I felt the Lord's presence. Don't know if I've ever felt Him that close since. Since July 29, 1982, there's 15 of us in a football huddle on the altar. And I promise you, Christ came so close, I'd reached out to look at Him and touch Him, and He wasn't there. But what I did see was that old white-haired man of God sitting up on that pulpit there. Dean! And I was looking for Christ, trying to touch. I said, He's right here. I know He's here. Just a simple child. He's right here. I'm gonna touch Him. And I seen my preacher. He. If you got a he. See, I'll help him because I'm indebted. Because see, her daddy was the preacher's kid. And her daddy went through hell like all Spirit-filled preachers' families do. But her daddy went through hell so my daddy could not go to hell. And I ain't going to hell, and she paid a price. I believe in giving out roses while they're still living. And I thank you for still standing and still being here. That's why I laid my head in your lap a while ago if you lay hands on me. I got more heroes that have fell out than ones that have stayed in. And I've had a bunch of heroes. And I name names, but it might hurt the service. And I can name them! This one and that one and that one and this one and 100 of them you don't know, and 1,000 others you don't know, and some you do. And they didn't make it. And when one of them is still standing and stayed true, we're indebted to the he's that stick by the stuff. And this young evangelist, willing to put my head in the lap of that older evangelist to lay hands on me. Because you better thank God for the he's. You want to know how many people ain't got a he? And they're going to hell because of it. You know how many nations don't have a he? You want to know how many families don't have a man of God? Honey, you ought to thank God for the he in your life. Do you know my uncle led your daddy to the Lord? Brother Ellis. Yeah. One of your uncles or your daddy's uncle, my Uncle Johnny, been in jail. Either your daddy was in jail or he was in jail, the uncle. Your daddy was. And my uncle led one of your uncles to the Lord. And when your daddy got out of jail, your uncle got saved right then, and it tore your daddy up, and my uncle led your daddy to the Lord. And my uncle was a little brother to my daddy. And when her daddy's daddy flagged down my daddy, little brother, my uncle, thought that going to heaven be a real good idea with big brother. And my Uncle Johnny walked down the aisle of the next service and said, I want to do what big brother did. And then my uncle led his daddy to the Lord years later. We're debtors to the he's. I'm sorry, this little thought done got big on me. Thank God for the heat. Can I stop and say to you that Satan will do everything in the world to get you disattached from your he?
Amen.
Devil don't mind you going to church. He just don't want you going to your church. Matter of fact, he got 23 good churches picked out for you right where you need to be. There ain't one place where the power of God is going to flow through your life. 1 Corinthians 12, it's going to be in that special fit, that special function, that special place. God hath placed the members in the body, everyone, as it hath pleased Him. And that word set is a jeweler's word. When he sets the diamond and he sets the ruby and he sets that gem in that beautiful piece of jewelry. And you're out of place anywhere else.
You're right. Yes, sir. Amen.
And you better stay with your he.
Amen.
You better stay with your he. I shined your granddaddy's shoes last year in service. The old man of God got up and preached, and he and I preached together. And we hadn't ever been able to be together much through the years. And when he got done, I didn't let him come down. Sat him on the altar. Took my tie and my tears. I kissed his feet. And shined his shoes. And 50 other fellas thought it was a good idea, and they jumped in there with me. I had an opportunity in this lifetime to show the man how beautiful his feet is. I didn't want to talk about it at his funeral. I wanted to show it to him. Appreciate him being a he for my daddy. Some of you need to fall back in love with your preacher. Oh, that don't sound... He ain't told me nothing. You can believe that. He ain't got to tell me nothing. I know how this thing works. Satan wants to do one thing, get you out of your church. And he'll do that by getting you out of a right relationship with your pastor. And somebody, hey, y'all not have preacher religion. I'm sorry, but you ain't going to be able to quote me a verse that says that. You got that from your old rebellious grandma, where you got that from. You didn't get out of the Bible. Paul said, you got 10,000 instructors, but you ain't got but one spiritual father. He said, I've got you in the faith. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Ooh, I can tell some of y'all chewing that one over. You done said all that. You done been mouthing off about that preacher religion stuff, ain't you? You think I can't smell a skunk when I run over a skunk. I can smell me a skunk. And there ain't nobody meaner than somebody thinks they're spiritual. Don't think just because you think you're spiritual, I mean, you wouldn't ever say anything stupid. Is that too plain? I hope. When somebody thinks they're spiritual is when they get to saying stupid stuff in church. Not until then. It ain't until then. I got an organized outline up here, but it don't seem to be wanting to come in the service. Some of you done got thinking you're spiritual, and anytime you start thinking you're something, you better watch out. The Bible says you're fixing to fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you're fixing to fall. Some of y'all think spiritual. Learned how to testify, learned how to worship. Somehow got you a little status among the brethren. Got answers for everybody now. Don't you wish it had been after 11:30 when I got up here? That one was sweet. That one involved her playing in the background. Sorry. It was 11:29. And you've even got your little following. Somebody in spirit feet, they can get a little following right in the middle of a great flock. They can get a little following. And they go out in each other's houses and stay up to past midnight, and the wisdom gets greater as the hours go on. Yeah. And you'd be amazed at the visions and the direction that come out of those after midnight meetings over there. What wisdom and what direction changes people's entire lives. I hit a skunk and I'm going to back up over it. It doesn't rut the smell. I'm going to kill it. May limp off and try to spray somebody else. I'm going to kill it while I'm here. You better thank God for the he. And then you ought to thank God you're part of the we. That's like three laps. What a kick. Three laps. You better thank God you're part of the we. Stand up, Rock of Ages boys. Say, I know who your uncle is. I know who your daddy is. We ought to be glad we're in the we.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That was the men of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes. We're part of the we.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a he back there.
Yes.
Some of y'all ought to thank God you're part of the we. Can you believe he let you be in the we? He let you be in the we. These son-in-laws. You boys may or may not know, you may have no idea what God, how good He smiled on you when He brought you in. Y'all better be glad you're in the we.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Noah had some in-laws and they got to get in the ark.
Yes, sir.
Can you believe you're in the we? The Lord Jesus passed by your way one day. Reached out and touched you. You don't know why. You don't know why you can pull out a guitar. And I don't know if people here know how crazy that story is. I guarantee you they're thinking about putting you in a straitjacket, wouldn't you? Could y'all imagine going to a prison and the messed up part over there is going wild? I've watched Cops. Ain't nobody having camp meeting on Cops. You don't want to ever heard of it. Now you Rock of Ages, but y'all go in, but you take 100 with you. He just stand over there, but fetch me a guitar. Okay. You want a little bottle of pills with that, maybe? You sure you're from the other prison? Can we see your identification? See that badge one more time, son. And to sit up and start singing when they're putting on the riot gear. And sit down with a guitar and start singing, all to Jesus I surrender. They ain't been singing that down there in the riot squad. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love. They're looking at that boy and say, he's part of that wee bunch over there. There's a he somewhere got a hold of that boy. He's in the wee bunch. Brother Corbett, we're in the wee bunch. Because somewhere back there, he stepped in. And I need to say this to you before I sit down. I'm not going to... I'm just going to say this to you. Look in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. Can I tell you, when God gives he a vision, he gives we a mission. When God gives he a vision, he gives we a mission. When God shows he where to go and what to do, immediately we ought to start packing our bags. Y'all have something here in the next 30 years. It'd be absolutely life-changing and world-effective if we would go with He. I want you to underline some words, and I'm done. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, there can be no hesitation if we's going to go with He. Immediately. That all to Jesus, I surrender. Some of y'all get on the altar this week in this meeting and say, okay, God, no more arguing. No more stalling. No more fussing. No more procrastinating. Immediately. 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 There's no hesitation. Underline the word endeavored. There can be no limitation. Endeavored. Big word, heavy duty word. That's an undertaking of a lifetime. Endeavored. There can be no limitation. If you're packing up for this expedition, pack up everything you got and get ready to give all you got. I remember the other preacher from Mississippi, Brother Don Sable, said this about Psalm 78. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. I wouldn't even preach on limiting God until I heard Dr. Sable clear it up. I knew I was too young and ignorant to know about talk about limiting God. Brother Sable said you cannot technically limit God in what He can do. You'll never technically limit God in what He can do. But you can personally limit God in what He will do for you. He's going to do what He's going to do, but you can limit God on what He'll do for you. You ain't going to limit God on what He's going to do. But whether or not you're a big part of it, that's going to be up to you. You can put the limitations right there. Immediately, we endeavored. There can be no hesitation. There can be no limitation. He said to go into Macedonia. Watch this. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Lord called who? Who called him? Yeah. Who called him? Yeah. You didn't know that? The Lord called him. You ain't going this. And right here is when the we start figuring out God spoke to him and so He's called us. Assuredly. There's no reservation. Assuredly. They had assurance. You got assurance you're supposed to be in this church. You're in the will of God. This is where God puts you. You got that assurance. You better know whatever God's leading Him, He's calling you. Oh, you can tell they're chewing on that little bite. I didn't hear no hallelujah glories. Moses! God didn't come down there and tell 2.5 million Jews where to go and how to act. He told one man. He told Moses. And then 2.5 million Jews knew that God had spoken to them. The he became the we when Moses, one man, had a burning bush experience on behalf of a whole country. And he did his little arguing with God. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. They don't want me to do it. They'll arrest me as soon as I get back in town. I can't talk right. You get down there and tell Pahario. You tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. God dealt with the he and the we. He said, God is calling us.
Yeah.
Jesus took 12 disciples and he became we.
Yeah. Sure.
And we are part of that we.
Yeah.
Assuredly, and it said they gathered. They just had to put pieces together. They gathered it. That the Lord had called us. Now there can be no reservation. Now look in verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight... Underline the word loosing. There can be no connection. You got to cut the ties and head out. Abram and Sarai, when they're leaving Ur of the Chaldees, it's time to go. They shouldn't have had any connection. Shouldn't have took Lot. Shouldn't have took Abraham's daddy. You'll always regret bringing baggage with you on the will of God.
Yeah.
Elisha burned the 12 yoke of oxen, sacrificed them, and he headed out with Elijah.
Yeah.
Loosing. The reason I'm standing before you in the power of God, because when I was about 3 years old, that Macedonian call came to mama and daddy. And daddy sold the house and sold the bird dogs. And the little path to his mother's and the little 1 mile trail to her mama's. And they told everybody. And they had no connections. And there's a 3 year old boy in that little Volkswagen that headed for Idaho. Daddy got to Kansas and said, we better buy a map. I really don't know where Idaho is. And that ain't no lie. He got to Kansas. Says, buy a map. We've got to head north sometime. And Jesus got in that little Volkswagen. And that's why I'm standing here tonight. In the power of God. Did I just say tonight? Do you know all Spirit-filled services, you'll call the night, the morning, and the morning, the night? You wait till the night, then men will say, amen this morning, hallelujah. And every good Sunday morning service, amen tonight. It's because the evening and the morning, the first day, and you get full of the Holy Ghost, you get it right. No connection, and here's the last one. Loosing! And some of y'all ain't going to get no deliverance until you lay aside those weights. And anybody's arguing, but it ain't a sin. Ain't nobody asked you if it was a sin. Holy Ghost said, this is burning you down. Now cut it loose. Loosing! From Troas we came with a straight course. There can be no deviation. And I'm going to tell you something. If the we ever turns into he, and what him is showing he and the we, it'll be an amazing thing what God will do in your lives. And how God can touch the world through one church where the we become he, the he becomes we. That was a burden on my heart. And I knew that wasn't the glory to God, the blood, the book, the blessed hope, shout her out, camp meeting sermon, but the Holy Ghost told me I was preaching that this morning. And there ought to be some people get on this altar and say, I don't care what others do. This family's going to be in the we. Because God's laid His hand on a he. And God will give a vision to save a whole nation to a he. And the he's got to have a we to go with them. I want you to bow your heads. I want Corbett's to come. Is that right, Pastor? You come.